text of various places. When you look at Acts 8:37, it doesn't. You do find it in some manuscripts, but the ones that the editors of most of your modern Greek texts and most of your modern students like, they like a group of texts that they see to be older. And so because they're older, they think that they're better, and they're closer to the exemplary, to the autograph copy. However, when we look at it, between every manuscript someplace had some connection back to the autograph copy. Sometimes they passed through more copies than others, but something in the 6th century could have come right out of the end of the 1st century. It could have, or out of the 2nd century, it could have come from way back there even. And so it doesn't, because they're older, it doesn't necessarily mean they're better. And some of those manuscripts they like, in my opinion, aren't that dependable anyway. But when we come down to the church fathers, I found it quite interesting because we have a church father, Irenaeus, who lived between 130 A.D. and 202 A.D. And this man, though, he was a student of Polycarp. And Polycarp, he was a student of the Apostle John. So he did have a connection pretty close back there to the apostles, but he did have that connection. He was a good friend of Ignatius, also another early father. And so he, Irenaeus, did write quite a bit, and he wrote what he wrote and called Against Heresies. And I just want to read what he wrote. He said, whom did Philip preach to the eunuch? And then I'm skipping some, but he said, Philip declared that this was Jesus. And so going back to Isaiah 53, and that the scripture was fulfilled in him, as did also the believing eunuch himself. And immediately requesting to be baptized, he said, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. This man was also sent into the regions of Ethiopia to preach what he himself believed, that there was one God preached by the prophets, but that the Son of God, Son of this God, had already made his appearance in human nature and had been led as a sheep to the slaughter, and all the other statements which the prophets made regarding him. Now you see that goes right back into someplace after, probably before the 3rd century. It started out in the 2nd century, though, that this man had his, that he wrote this someplace in there. And so it takes it back actually earlier than any of the Greek manuscripts that are earlier that they initially settle on and in choosing the text. And so it was known early, if nothing else. Another church father, so-called Cyprian, who died in 258, he also refers to part of this. He doesn't go back to, I believe that Jesus is the Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he does include the fact that you had to believe with your whole heart. And so these statements were statements that were known pretty early, and earlier than were written by some of these fathers before the manuscripts that they like. And so if we include it here, at least if it's not part of Scripture, but it was an inclusion in Scripture later on, we do know that it had an early support for it, not by Greek. You had some later Greek manuscripts beginning in the 6th century, but the statement was made, and pretty specifically made by Irenaeus, so that we might believe that it was known early. Now, some take this, it may have been a baptismal formula that they said. But you notice when they preached Christ, they gospelized Christ to them. And included in that message, we inherently would be the fact that he was the Son of God. And so whether he included that here, that was not the key point of their message, though. It moved to change from the Gospels over here to the beginnings of the church to the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the core of the message. But this man, if he may have said this, it may have come to us by tradition. We don't have much manuscript support for it. But if it isn't here, at least we wouldn't put it on a par with Scripture. But we can say that this eunuch did believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so this is the first reference in our English translation, at least, to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, Philip went ahead and baptized him, and then the spirit, that would be the angel, I believe, the spirit being caught him away in verse 30, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And then tradition, the account of Irenaeus says that he did go back to Ethiopia, and he did preach what he had heard and what he believed. Now, we want to move on. So he's the Son of God. That we know that the early church did believe that he was the Son of God, without using the title a lot, but that's not the emphasis as it was in the Gospels. But as we move over to chapter 9, we come to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and as the Lord appears to him on the Damascus road. And we see, I'm just going to pick up in verse 19, and it's after after he received his sight again and he was baptized. It says when he received meat, he'd received some food, he was strengthened. Now you notice as we come to that, you have a period there, and you have moving on then to another theme here as we move on then to you have some movement here to then. And so he gave him meat, and he was in strengthened. And then it came to be, it says, in the Greek text, it's interesting, they did make a break there. They made a paragraph break in the middle of this verse. And I would agree with them. I believe there is a gap in between here of 3 years. Saul of Tarsus was saved on the Damascus road, he did go out to the desert, and he was taught there by the Lord. But to point out that he did go out into the desert, we could go to Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 17. Then he says, when he was first saved, he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't talk to anybody. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And that was then 3 years that he went up to Jerusalem. But he went out into the wilderness, and I believe that was when he had his seminary training from the Lord, as the Lord appeared to him, as the Lord taught him, and the Lord did give him some specific things. Now, as we move back over to Acts 9, we pick up after that, then was Paul certain days, or it came to be Saul was certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And so he returns to Damascus after his seminary training, and straightway, immediately, he preached Christ. Now, this word preached, it is the word to herald with authority. It's the verb keruso, to herald with authority. He heralded with authority Christ. Notice what his message was. But he heralded with authority Christ, that is, that he's the resurrected and glorified one, implying that to be Christ, he had to die first, as he did die for our sins. But that was, that summarizes the message that Paul preached in the synagogues. But specifically, now we see that as he went into these Jewish synagogues during the transition, he does preach that Christ, the resurrected and glorified one, that he is the Son of God. And so he is the Son of God. And so this is the second place, the only other place that we find the title Son of God in the book of Acts. And so Saul of Tarsus, that was his message. And we'll skip down. The people recognize him, and they can't believe what they're hearing from him, because he is the one who was persecuting the church. But in verse 22 it says, but Saul was increasing more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, approving that this is the very Christ. This one is Christ. And so he proved that this one, that would be Jesus Christ, that he is, who is the Son of God, that he is the Christ. And that's the thrust of his message here, that this one is the Christ, he says very, very clearly. And so he emphasized that he is the Christ. Now, the Jews didn't care for that. They wanted to kill him, as they always wanted to kill the Lord. Now they're after Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul does go up to Jerusalem, and we're going to pick him up over in Jerusalem and see what he does as he gets up to Jerusalem, the account that goes to Jerusalem with him. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, that is up in Jerusalem, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he had preached, though, the Lord Jesus there in Damascus. And he did it with boldness. He spoke with boldness of speech, though, as he was there in Damascus. He spoke it, actually. The word preached here he vocally spoke. But he did it with boldness of speech, boldly in Damascus. But he did it in the character of Jesus, the name and character of Jesus. And so that's the next thing that we see of Saul of Tarsus. His emphasis was on the Lord Jesus, as he did herald with authority Christ. But he is the Son of God, and he did make that clear to them, that this one who died on the cross, but the one who is Christ, the one who's the resurrected and glorified one, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, though. Now, as we move on down in the context in verse 29, he goes around, Saul moves around Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, and they went about to slay him. So everywhere he goes, everybody wants to slay him. And so he does end up being sent back home to Tarsus to have quite a number of years, about 11 years, where he's going to be away from the church. Now, when he comes back, Barnabas goes to get him over in chapter 11. And I'm looking at this just to show you what Saul's message, and as he will become known as Paul by his Roman name, his message is going to be about Christ. And when he preached that Jesus is the Christ, that Christ is the Son of God, that was his emphasis at the beginning. And as he goes on, though, his message it's going to be the gospel, and that's where he started out, too. He would have taught the gospel there. He saw the resurrected and glorified one, though, on the road to Damascus. Now, in Acts 11, I want to move over and look at verse 26. And so in verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Paul. He went to bring him, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And so here we find that he spent a year and he was teaching. Now, it doesn't say what he was teaching, but we know that what he taught the people, it was going to be things that he had been taught by the Lord and things that he had learned as he taught. But he and Barnabas taught there for a year, and the disciples were, we could translate, they were stylized. The way they lived was as Christians, as Christ-like ones. They lived as Christians there first in Antioch. That's where they had that. They became stylized as Christians. They actually lived a Christian kind of a life, as they were taught some things and learned them and so forth there. So he taught many people, but what did he preach? We could go through all of the Acts, and we see that essentially the message from the day of Pentecost on was that Christ died, that Jesus died, and that he died and he rose again. But when he died for a purpose, we know, and he died for our sins, but he died and rose again. I want to just move over to chapter 13, and we'll look at verse 5, and we see again, as this is when Saul and Barnabas, he's going to be changed to Paul soon, but as they go out and on the first missionary, actually apostolic journey, in verse 5 it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the gospel. And so again we have the word preached in this instance. They announced the word of God, actually. And so they announced, it's not the word for preach, but they announced the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also, and they had John, that would be Mark, for their servant, their under rower, their minister. And so you have the accounts here. But the place I want to drop on down to, we're going to pick up a couple of other verses here in the context and see what he did. Now, he did, he went to Antioch in Pisidia, and down in verse 14. And when they read the prophets, then they got up to speak. And now it's Paul. Paul gets up and he's going to speak and go through some of the history of the Jews. But I just want to pick up again some of the account of the message. Now, he in verse 23, he says, "Of this man's seed," going back to David, "this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." So he preached Jesus as a Savior. And so you have the reference there. And then down in verse 27, we'll go down to 20. I'm just going to skip over. Said that at the end of verse 28, Pilate, anyway, they desired that the Jews desired Pilate that he should be slain, that is, Jesus should be slain. But verse 29, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulcher, and then but God raised him out from dead ones." And so right there you move into the account of his death, Christ, the death of Christ and the resurrection. Well, that's the core of the gospel. But when he died, we know that he died for our sins. But that was that would be by putting that together with other scripture. Luke is summarizing the key, though, that he died, was buried, was raised again. And so that was something that they saw. And down in verse 33, it emphasizes again, he was raised again, and then he goes to the second song. But he emphasizes through here, down in verse 37, that he was raised again. And so the message that was preached, when Paul or Saul of Tarsus preached, he had to preach Christ. He had to get the gospel in for someone to be saved. But one thing he did stress, though, to these up in the synagogues in Damascus was that this one Christ, that he is the Son of God. And so he did, again, with all of that which that title meant, he is truly equal with the Father. And so twice in Acts, that's the only two places, and one of them had a little dubious, but the other one very plainly part of the text is that we find the title the Son of God used in their ministry. But they did emphasize the gospel of Jesus Christ as they preached throughout wherever they preached. And so again, he is God the Son, equal with the Father. Father, we're thankful again for your Son, for who he is, and today we know that he is your Son, that he is equal with you, that he is fully God, fully man, and we're thankful again for him. We're thankful that he did come from heaven's glory willingly and join his person to that human nature in Mary's womb, and that as he did so, that he did grow and that he did accomplish that which he came to do as he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. But again, we're thankful that throughout, from before he was born to become flesh, that he was always the Son of God, and that throughout his ministry, and he always has been and always will be the Son of God, one who is truly God. And so we're thankful for that now, because he was capable of bearing our sins. And so we thank you again. Amen.